Do you have a half hour to kill? Then stay tuned to
Half Hour to Kill.
Your company, makers of your products, present another study in murder and suspense. From the pen of Robert Webster Light comes
Blackout,
an unusual tale especially designed for your
Half Hour to Kill.
And now we give you the eminent actor, Mr. William Conrad, in
Blackout.
Tell me, Mr. Police Commissioner, how long ago did life begin for you? 40, 45 years ago?
That's about right.
Yeah. Well, for me, life began about 24 hours ago. Yeah, that's all. 24 hours ago, I woke up. I was lying in a ditch beside a railroad track. When I first opened my eyes, I saw the sky. It was clear and very blue, and I sat up and I saw that my knee was sticking out through a hole in my pants and that my clothes were dirty and torn. And I started thinking, wait a minute, what's happened to me? And I rubbed my eyes like you'll do when you first wake up, and my hand ran across something sticky, and I looked at my hand, and it was blood, dry, sticky blood. I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. In the distance, I could see a train. Could I have fallen off it or been thrown off? And then a guy started walking toward me. He looked like a bum. I could see him quite a ways off.
Hi there, young fella.
Yeah?
You hurt?
No, I'm all right.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm all right. It's dizzy, I guess.
You've been kind of banged around. Get bumped off the rods?
I don't know.
But how'd you be here in the ditch if you wasn't bumped off the rods?
I don't know, I tell you.
Okay, Pete, okay.
My name isn't Pete.
Oh, I just call everybody that. What is your name?
My name is... My name is...
Well?
I can't remember my name.
You can't remember? You kidding? What are you trying to pull? Don't know your own name.
I tell you, it's true. I don't know. I can't remember.
It ain't so easy to forget your own name, Pete.
Look, don't ride me, will you? Something's happened. I don't know just what, but something's wrong.
Where you from?
What?
Where you from?
I don't know that either. I just can't remember. It's all crazy.
Say, you really got it bad, ain't you, Joe?
Let's see now. No, it's no use.
Well, look in your pockets. Maybe you'll find something with your name on it.
Yeah, that's an idea. Let's see. Here's a handkerchief. Some keys.
Any money?
No money.
Anything with your name on it?
No, I can't find a thing.
How about a wallet? Look in your coat pocket.
Oh, nothing. My inside coat pocket's been torn, you see? It's like the wallet's been torn right out.
Yeah. You probably had a fight and lost it.
It's hopeless. What am I going to do?
If I was you, the first thing I'd do is try to find out who I am. That's kind of important.
Yeah.
I seen the train pass through, the train you fell off of. It was coming from Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah. It ain't far back. I'd get there if I was you and start asking questions. Then I'd get myself to a hospital. You don't look good, Pete. You don't look good at all.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, that's how it started, with loss of memory, amnesia. I was bad enough, but if I'd known how much bigger and more terrible my problems were going to be, I'd never have come back to Chicago. Never. Well, I hitchhiked in, and when I saw how people were looking in my torn clothes, I thought I'd better pay a visit to a tailor.
Good afternoon. Come in.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful day, I don't feel like working already. But when it's got to be, it's got to be. What can I do for you?
Well, my clothes are...
Such a mess. You had an accident?
Yeah, I'm afraid I did.
What's the matter with me? Sit down. You look terrible. You could use a little drink. Some brandy, maybe?
No, thanks. I feel okay now. I just like to have these clothes sewn up and pressed a little. Could you do it while I wait?
Certainly, and with pleasure. Look, go into the back room. Throw the clothes through the door. You'll find a wash basin. You can wash that cut on your face.
That's very kind of you. There's only one thing.
Yes?
I'm flat broke. I couldn't pay you for them now. Maybe in a day or so.
All right. A day or so, a week or so. Go on, make yourself at home, and while you're washing up, I'll mend the pants and get them in first-class shape.
So I went into the tailor's little back room and took off my suit. Then I went over to the washstand and started to wash. My head felt better as soon as I got a little cool water on it. I sat down and I tried to figure, what would I do? Where would I go from here? And then I noticed something about my pants belt. It was bulky. It had a little zipper in the back. And when I opened it, money started falling out in tight rolls. The bills were crisp and new. And I thought my heart was beating loud enough for the tailor to hear it as I counted the money. It was $50,000.
Hey, mister. Are you coming with the clothes?
Huh? Oh, yeah, they're ready. I'll hand them to you through the door.
Good. I'll have them fixed up like new in no time. You sit there and relax. You look like you could stand it.
Yeah, relax. Relax with 50,000 bucks strapped around my stomach. Well, the little tailor fixed my clothes and I looked fairly respectable again.
You know, I never seen such nice material in a long time as that suit.
Is that so?
Yes. It cost a beautiful dollar, believe me. Where did you get it?
Where? Wasn't there a label on it?
No, the label had been ripped off. So why am I asking so many questions? Goodbye and good luck.
What do I owe you?
So when you earn a few dollars, come back and we'll figure out.
Will this do it?
What? $20? But before you said you were broke. This I don't understand.
That makes two of us, my friend. You can't imagine how I felt, can't you, Mr. Commissioner? I didn't know what to do, where to turn. I thought of going to the police, but something in my subconscious warned me against it. When a little tailor had fixed my clothes and I looked fairly respectable again, I went out on the street and began walking. I didn't know where I was going or why. $50,000. I tried with every ounce of strength to crush through the wall that separated me from the past, but it was no use. I must have walked for miles because suddenly it was dark and I was on a dismal little side street lined with hock shops and hamburger joints and honky-tonks. And then some punk kid brushed against me.
Hey, mister.
Huh?
You better fade fast.
What?
You're being tailed.
What do you mean?
Not so loud, not so loud. A guy's been following you for the last hour.
Following me?
Relax, don't get so jumpy. Boy, you must really be hot. Now look into this window. You can see his reflection. The tall, skinny guy in the white suit.
Yeah, I see him. How do you know he's been following me?
Because I've been walking a little behind you ever since you turned down 14th Street. And I can tell when a guy's being tailed.
Why are you telling me, then?
Because maybe you'll be big-hearted and slip me a bill for it. And because maybe I don't like cops.
Cops?
Sure. Sure he's a cop. I can tell him a mile away. Yeah. You must really be hot, mister.
It's easy to say now that I know what I should have done, Mr. Commissioner. I should have gone up to this guy and had a showdown right then and there, but panic is a funny thing. It begins almost before you know it, and there's no cure for it. No cure at all. I began running as fast as I could, and I brushed against people, and I stumbled, and I didn't stop until my wind gave out, and my legs weighed a ton. Then I looked back, and I'd lost my friend in the white suit. But for how long? I had to find a place to sleep that night. I saw this little hotel on the side street. I straightened my tie and wiped the sweat off of my face and started through the lobby. There was no one at the desk. I rang the desk bell, and a little fellow with glasses came out.
Yeah?
I'd like a room.
Rates a dollar and a half in advance.
Yeah, that's all right.
No luggage, huh?
No, I'm just staying overnight.
Oh, that's all right. Very few of them bring any luggage. What's your name?
What?
What are you getting so excited about? Just want your name for the hotel registers, huh?
My name? The name's Bronson.
Yeah,
Howard Bronson.
Howard Bronson. I thought for a minute you were going to say you were one of the Smith boys. Here's the key, Mr. Bronson.
Okay.
And now the dollar and a half.
Yeah, here you are.
$20? Is that the smallest you have?
That's all I have, yeah.
Well, I suppose I can change it. You sure it's good? You didn't make it yourself now, did you?
It's good.
No offense. Just my own little joke.
Okay, take another nickel off of this newspaper.
Sure thing. Here's your change. Now, why don't you go up to bed? You look very tired.
I tried to sleep, but it was no use. Why had that man in the white suit followed me? What had I done? Not knowing almost drove me out of my mind. Out of my mind. I was already out of my mind. Then finally, I must have dozed off because I was suddenly in the middle of a terrible nightmare. No, I won't give it up. I won't. Leave me alone,
Bailey! Bailey!
Mr. Bronson.
What? Are you all right, Mr. Bronson?
Yes, I'm all right. Who is it?
It's the room clerk. Would you open the door for a moment?
Yeah. Come in.
Several of the guests heard you screaming. We wondered if...
Oh, it was nothing. Just a nightmare, I guess. I'm all right now, I think.
I'm glad to hear that.
Is that all you wanted to know?
Not exactly.
Well?
A detective came in a while ago inquiring about somebody.
Detective?
Yeah, a city detective. Well, that is according to the badge he showed me.
What did he want?
Oh, no one named Bronson.
Then what are you bothering me for?
It wasn't Bronson he asked for, but his description of the man fitted you exactly.
How long ago was he here?
Oh, about 20 minutes ago. Your name is Bronson, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know it's technically against the law to register under an alias.
My name's Bronson.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, that's all. He must have wanted somebody else. He says he's been checking up on all the hotels in this neighborhood. Says he might drop back later.
What did he look like?
Oh, tall fella, kind of slim, wearing a white summer suit.
White summer suit?
Uh-huh. Don't see many of those nowadays, do
No.
You sure you're over your nightmare?
Yeah, I know, I'm all right.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, good night, Mr. Bronson.
Good night. Oh, say,
Yeah?
If that fella does come back...
The detective?
Yeah, if he does come back, let me know. I just want both him and you to make sure that I'm not the one he's looking for.
Oh, yes. And okay, Mr. Bronson. Good night.
After that, I didn't want to sleep. I got very jittery. And I paced the room and smoked one cigarette after another. Why had I said that to the clerk? I couldn't be so lily white with that 50 grand strapped to me. Still, maybe it'd be better to have it out with a guy once and for all. Finally, I forced myself to sit down. I picked up the paper and started to read. The front page was filled with news and names that meant nothing to the shadow that had engulfed my mind. But down in the corner of the front page, what was this? A detective slain on a train. Detective slain on a train? George Bailey, Chicago... Bailey, the man in my nightmare. Found dead this morning in a room out on a westbound train. Police officials report that he was on the trail of one Joe Latterly, who is believed to have killed the detective during an attempted arrest. Police throughout the state are on the lookout for Latterly now. He is known to be carrying $50,000 in stolen currency. $50,000 in stolen currency! Now what was I going to do? I was not only a thief, I was a killer. Funny thing, somehow I didn't feel like a killer. Didn't feel like a killer at all.
Mr. Bronson,
That detective came back. He's here with me now. He'd like to talk to you.
Detective? Oh, yeah, sure. Be glad to talk to him. Wait just one second. I'll throw on some clothes.
No, thank you. I wasn't having any of this. The only thing I could think about was getting away. I rushed to the window and raised it. And the fire escape led right down to the back alley.
Open up, Mr. Burton!
I slid over the sill and started down the fire escape, and as I raced down the steps, I heard excited voices above me, and then... they were shooting at me. This was a new sensation, Mr. Commissioner. Not exactly the most pleasant feeling in the world. Well, that convinced me. I was the killer. A killer at bay.
Act two of Half Hour to Kill will follow in just a moment. But first, turn over the record. And now, back to Blackout. A story especially designed for your...
Half Hour to Kill.
What could I do? Where could I go? It was almost midnight. There was not one person in the whole world that I could turn to that I knew. I didn't even know my own name. Hey, wait a minute. Yes, I did know my own name. Joe Latterly. A newspaper said Joe Latterly. I saw an all-night drugstore down the block. I just about ran all the way. Closed myself in the phone booth and started thumbing through the directory. Sure enough, there it was. Joe Latterly. I wrote down my address and began dialing my telephone number. While the number rang, I felt a cold sweat come rolling down my face and neck and soak into my collar.
Hello?
Hello, this is the Latterly residence?
Yeah. What do you want?
This is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
Don't sound like it.
I had a little accident.
Did you get the money?
Yeah.
Any trouble?
I killed him.
Oh.
Look, I better see you right away.
Yeah. Well, don't come here. The cops are thick as flies. Better meet me at the usual place.
The usual place?
Yeah, at Mom's.
Okay, at Mom's. Look, this accident kind of messed up my memory. What's Mom's address again?
229.
229?
9th Street, apartment 204.
Oh, yeah, apartment 204. Okay, I'll see you there.
You sure sound funny, Joe. What happened?
I'll tell you all about it when I see you. So I had a wife, and she was in on everything. You see, Commissioner, the jigsaw puzzle was beginning to make some sense now. A wife, and I couldn't even remember the color of her hair. If only I could break through this shadow. Well, 10 minutes later, I was standing in the entrance of a very classy apartment hotel lobby. Not a soul in sight. I began looking down the list of numbers for the right doorbell to ring. I felt myself going shaky again. There it was, 204. I pushed the bell, waited, and then the door buzzer sounded, and I pushed the door open and started across the lobby. No one in sight. No one. That was a break. I pulled my hat down over my eyes as I started up the steps. You see, I was beginning to think like a hunted man, like a killer. I took the stairs to the second floor and then started down the hall. 200, 202, the next door, 204. The door was ajar. I wanted to call my wife, but what was her name? Honey? Honey, are you there? No answer. Pushed the door open. The room was in darkness. I felt along the wall for a light switch and found it. And there waiting for me was this detective, this tall, skinny guy in the white suit. I let my nerves take over. I jumped from the room, slammed the door shut, and started running again. This time he had a better chance at me than before. As I ran through the empty streets, I could hear him coming right behind me. I ducked down alleys and across backyards, but he was right on my tail. I couldn't run much farther. I was all pooped out. And then I bumped smack into somebody.
Hey, watch where you're going.
I didn't see you, officer.
Well, I'm not exactly an officer. I'm a night watchman. But who are you running from?
Why, nobody. Nobody at all.
I looked up and down the dark street. The detective was nowhere in sight.
I don't know. You weren't exactly strolling along. Come over here to the streetlight. Let me take a look at you.
Well, if you must know, I got into a little jam with a lady.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, the way you run, I bet you're a hard man to catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on with you and be more careful next time. You may not always get a head start.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, good night, dear.
Oh,
Yeah?
I live on the other side of town. What's the quickest way to get home?
Well, there's an elevated train station 2 blocks from here. That's your best bet.
Okay.
Yeah, but you better hurry. The last train pulls in at 1 o'clock, and it's pretty close to that right now.
I'll hurry. Good night. I began walking again. Once I got away from this neighborhood, I'd have a chance. A chance for what? Well, I wasn't sure, but a man with 50,000 bucks could do a lot of maneuvering. I saw the lights of the elevated station ahead, and in the quiet night, I heard the rumble of the approaching train. The last train. I started jogging. I couldn't miss that train. I took a quick glance over my shoulder. It was him again, my friend in the white suit. I raced up the steps 3 at a time. When I got to the top, he was at the bottom.
Stop or I'll kill you!
I'd never heard a deadlier sound than that voice. There was no one else on the elevated platform. Even the ticket seller had closed up shop and put a little sign on his window, pay on train. And the last train was just pulling in. The detective was coming up the stairs. Kind of slow for some reason that I didn't have time to figure out. The train stopped and the door swung open and I got in. The door closed and the train was on its way. I looked back and the detective was standing on the platform just looking at the train. I didn't get it. Why hadn't he come after me? I couldn't figure it. Then I decided I'd better get some information from the conductor. Say, could you help me?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Oh, where does this train go?
190th.
Yeah. Can I get to the state highway from there?
Nope. You're going the opposite way.
I kind of got mixed up my directions, I guess.
Well, the only way to get where you're going is to take another car back to the loop.
That was what I wanted to know. I decided to get off on a block or two in case the cop was waiting for me at 190th. He must have figured he could beat me there and probably have quite a little reception committee waiting. So I got up and started to walk to the door.
Hey.
Yeah?
Where are you going?
Well, you said I was going the wrong way. I was going to get off the next stop.
You can't get off till 190th. This is an express.
I was just about ready to crack. I knew it would be curtains for me as soon as I got off the train. I kept hoping for a miracle. Maybe the train would crack up or stop one station too soon, but it was no use. Finally, the conductor called the station.
190th Street.
And a half dozen sleepy passengers started getting up and heading for the doors. Then I got an idea. Maybe I could stay in the car. Maybe I could wait. When the last passenger got out, the conductor looked over at me.
Is this where you transfer back to the loop?
Where does the train go?
Up a few blocks and we turn around and head back.
What, couldn't I go back with you?
Sorry. You gotta get out here and cross the bridge.
But
I don't make the rules, buddy. The company makes them for me.
Well, I tell you that...
Hey.
What's the matter?
There's somebody behind you.
Just come with me. I've got a gun right against your back.
It was him. I felt the gun rubbing against my spine. And I knew I had only one chance. So I whipped around. I was lucky. I caught him with a hard right and he went down. I jumped fast and got his service revolver. He didn't stay down long, though, and as he got up and lunged at me, I let him have it. Right between the eyes.
So there's my story, Mr. Police Commissioner. I'm Joe Latterly. I've killed 2 cops. One today and one last week. I stole 50,000 bucks. And I'm tired of the whole thing. I'm glad it's over.
Well, that's quite a story, mister. I don't suppose you remember how or why Detective Bailey was killed last week on that train out of Chicago.
No.
Well, we've constructed the crime pretty well, we think. Began a week ago when a fellow named Steve Roycroft came to headquarters with a complaint against one of his employees. He suspected him of embezzling $50,000.
And that employee was...
Joe Latterly.
I see.
Latterly disappeared, and Detective Bailey was assigned to the case. Later that day, he found Latterly taking the morning train out of Chicago. Called Roycroft and told him about it. Both Roycroft and Bailey made the train on Latterly's trail. They confronted him and got back with 50 grand.
Who got the money back?
Well, the man it rightfully belonged to. Steve Roycroft.
Well, then where did
Just a minute. Roycroft got his money back, but Latterly made another try. He overpowered Detective Bailey and killed him. Would have killed Roycroft, too, but Roycroft jumped for his life from the speeding train.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You got it wrong. I jumped from the train, remember?
Exactly.
But...
You're not Joe Latterly, my friend. You're Steve Roycroft. When you got your money and jumped from the train, you lost your memory. Then when you read that we were looking for the killer Latterly, you naturally assumed that you were him. Of course, we thought Latterly still had the money.
Good heaven.
What's the matter now? Well,
don't you realize what I've done?
What?
Thinking I was Joe Latterly, I killed a detective who was trying to bring me in.
Detective?
Yes, just now on the elevated platform.
That wasn't a detective at all.
Well, then who?
He was Joe Latterly, trying to get back his money, or I should say, your money.
Joe Latterly?
That's right. And there won't be any charges. You killed him in self-defense. Yes, the man in the white suit was Joe Latterly all the time. That's why you met him in that apartment. It was his hideout. I know this has been a great shock to you, Mr. Roycroft.
Shock? Yeah.
You're not well. You need rest. I've sent for an ambulance to take you to the hospital. The psychiatrist there will be able to help you recover your memory.
I hope so. I hope they can make me forget what I thought I was.
How do you mean?
I've lived the life of Joe Latterly too well. It's done something to me. I've begun to think like he must have thought, like a hunted killer. Not going to be easy to return to the commonplace routine existence of Steve Roycroft after what I've been through. I hope I won't become too bored, Mr. Commissioner.
Next week at the same time over the same stations, your company, makers of your products, will present Death on Highway 99. Another unusual tale especially designed for your...
A Power to Kill.
Half Hour to Kill is written and produced by Robert Webster Light. Original music is composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Mr. William Conrad, recently featured in Mark Hellinger's production, The Killers, was supported in tonight's presentation by an all-star Hollywood cast, including Peggy Weber, Norman Field, Howard McNear, Ken Christie, Paul Frees, and Byron Kane. This is a Tellaways feature, produced in Hollywood for audition purposes only.